Hello, everybody. Such an abrupt start, right? It's because I was singing Outkast's Hey Ya right before I clicked record. It might have even gotten me singing it. Maybe got me saying, okay, let's start. But anyways, this is I've Got a Bad Feeling About This. I'm back here with a Chuck, returning after his brief departure. And, you know, it's a day past, and this will come out multiple days after, but happy birthday, Chuck.
Thank you very much.
You know, podcast partners by chance, lovers by choice. It's a great shindig we've got going on. Don't take that for credence.
What is going on?
I'm in a committed 5-year relationship with not Chuck. Anyways,
yeah, I'm gonna let her know.
Just yeah, no, she'll hear it. She'll listen. Sometimes she listens to these in the car. I don't know why. She does not watch The Bad Batch. But anyways, we have two episodes of The Bad Batch for you here today. One is episode 7, titled Schmeh, and episode 8, titled Reunion. Let me get that episode 7 title. Both of these episodes were pretty tight, I'd say. They were both like, it is called The Battle Scars. Both of them were probably some of the better episodes of the season so far. I've been pretty lukewarm on a lot of this show. Maybe to the point of being like hard on it, but I think that there's some real integral issues with the storytelling they're trying to do and the tonality switches. And I've talked extensively about that. But I feel like these last two episodes, I wouldn't say a return to form, but just a escalation of story. I don't know if I enjoyed episode 7 as much as other people did, but I did enjoy it. And I thought this episode was brilliant. So let's get into episode 7. This is called Battle Scars. God, why can I not remember that? So first, I think we have to acknowledge the elephant in the room. We had a pretty big character return in episode 7. Not the hugest, probably not the most surprising, but still a pretty big character appearance. So
yeah, I mean, we knew it was going to happen at some point.
He was in the trailer. We knew it was going to happen. And pretty much the second we saw Mace Windu's eyes, we knew it was Rex. It rips off the cloak and shoots the guy, and we're like, oh my god, it's Rex, and no one really cares because we knew he was going to be in the show. This wasn't supposed to be a big, huge reveal. I don't think it was, because next episode actually had a pretty big character reveal. I think Rex was a bit of a misdirection, like, see, look, we brought a big character back, no more. And then episode 8, of course, spoiler alert, if you haven't caught up quite yet, which will be understandable because I'm going to upload this on time.
I will
upload it, and I'll also put it on my Instagram so we don't have, you know, 3 viewers instead of, you know, our usual 8 or 10 or so.
Hey, but to those 3 viewers that don't need the promo, hey.
You probably don't even know me, like, personally. Right, you're listening.
Just like, hey, this is pretty cool. Hey, I like this
because you consistently show up too. I like you guys a lot. The only reason I'm not saying 4 is because I always accidentally clicks play on our podcast.
Oh, like, yeah,
from Seattle Sports too. Yeah. Just because I check the descriptions to make sure there's no typos, and I'll always click play. Anyways, we don't move around a lot. This was a criticism I had last week. Or 2 weeks ago when we recorded the last episode, we move around a lot in The Bad Batch, and I thought it was kind of disrupting the flow of the story. Omari disagreed with me. I might be disagreeing with myself, what I said on record, but that's my true thoughts. I didn't really care. I don't really care for the jumping around. So I'm glad that we kind of had a 2-episode arc on this planet, this junk planet that Cal Kestis is from. I don't know what it's called. I could not tell you.
Braca.
But I just think the cloaked figure thing was a bit of an underwhelming reveal, and that really put a damper on the rest of the episode for me. You know what I mean?
You just don't like clones.
No, God, that's not true. I just don't. I just think Rex is overrated. But
You have bad taste. It's okay.
Maybe I have bad taste.
In clones, at least.
I still like Rex. I just think he's a little overrated.
It's okay, Ben. We give you a pass.
Yeah, I get to have one like stupid Star Wars opinion. I don't think I have many like completely dumb ones, and this might be my one.
Well, to consider the things that this fan base has had, I don't think your opinions are that horrible, but
I could be like, well, you know, we should really just have an all male cast.
Or the, you know, the Empire wasn't actually bad, you know.
Holy shit, that's gotta be my least favorite one.
I don't understand it.
They're literally space fascists. How are you going to get on board with that?
Or you know, Star Wars isn't political.
Yeah, like, you know, when they're fighting space fascists. There's a trailer from 1980 for Empire Strikes Back, a couple months before it came out. It's Harrison Ford reading The Battle Against Fascism in space. And I'm like, are you kidding me, you guys? It's been political since the get. It's like the whole thing. Anyways, the episode was fine. I'm gonna get into my thoughts about just the quality episode. I'm not sold on Cid just quite yet. I love the character. I just don't know if she's gonna be a real contributor to the forward momentum of the story. She sends them on these jobs, you know what I mean? Like, she has that Greef Karga aspect to her where she's kind of the handler. And it's comparable to D&D when you're playing a Dungeons and Dragons and the DM is like, well, I need somebody to give my players missions. That's what it feels like Cid is. She's just handing these missions out to the Bad Batch. And that's a Star Wars trope we've seen before. Don't get me wrong. I hope she's not in much more. At least if she does come back, she needs to have an evolved capacity like Greef Karga did, to which she is more involved in the storylines rather than just being like, yo, kids, get out there and scavenge, I guess.
Go get me the money you owe me. It's like, okay. That's what we'll see of Cid. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, aside from really the first episode that we saw Cid, it's mostly been now, oh, you owe me more. Go and retrieve it. Yay. It's like,
and then
they go off and they do the mission.
And I mean, like, I hope that's not a big thing because, like, they're still going to owe her after episode 8. Spoilers, they don't make enough money because some shit goes down.
Somewhat?
I already swore. I said holy shit like 3 minutes ago, yeah.
Oh. I guess it didn't faze me.
Right. I said holy shit with some like emphasis too. It's because when you said the Empire did nothing wrong. So that
take still gets me.
I think the biggest takeaways from episode 7 that at least stuck out to me was there is a way the clones can remove inhibitor chips from other clones.
Yep. That
should be... Okay, A, it's groundbreaking because we didn't know that. Like, Ahsoka removed it from Rex, sure. But we didn't know if it would work again. And it works on Wrecker after some very scary moments, I might add. I thought they were going to pop the Omega bubble. I thought she was going to use the Force or something to get out of that jam. But then Cody shot Wrecker in the back, and then I forgot Cody. Holy shit. I don't know why my mind is so upset on Cody being in this show when I know he's probably going to be in Kenobi.
That'd be so funny.
When Rex shot Wrecker in the back. And kind of put him down for a little bit with a stun bolt. And that, in fact, that's something I talked about with Chuck and Omari just like a while ago. I always be forgetting that there's stun in Star Wars.
Because, I mean, it's not even used that freak. Well, I mean, in this show, it's actually turned up a decent amount.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least in standard Clone Wars, I don't remember it that much, honestly.
Pretty infrequent. And then like in the TV or in the movies, it's used once. They shoot Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Gunbolt, and I don't think it's been used in The Mandalorian, and I don't think it's been used in Rebels that often either. In Resistance, I think it's used once or twice. But anyways, it's something I always forget about. I identify it more as Star Trek because of, you know, the iconic set phasers to stun. But yeah, so they put my boy Wrecker down. They put him in the machine. They take his chip
your
out.
Boy. Wow.
I know he's reached my boy status. I have talked to a variety of people now who have had the same arc that I have. where going into the Bad Batch, they were like, Wrecker's a piece of garbage character who is nothing. And then like three episodes they're in, they're like, nothing bad can happen to my big beef boy. Like nothing bad can happen to him.
Welcome to the club, guys.
I know. I feel like I'm joining a cult. I'm like, I'm ready. I'm ready to jump into the Wrecker club.
You are accepted.
Yes. Do I have to like do something weird, like lift a gonk droid and do curls with it?
And it's gotta go, ow, my head.
So we did.
Which, I don't want to get ahead of the.
No, go ahead. Get ahead.
We think we mentioned it last. Not, I wasn't here last episode. Two episodes ago, where we were kind of talking about how we were gonna get to some point where, obviously they have to. Well, my prediction was wrong. My prediction was Tech was gonna use his whatever his thing he was working on. That would be able to scan the head and then they'd take it out. But I mean, we kind of got that, but obviously Wrecker with that, ow, my head, wasn't just a headache.
You know? Right.
That was something that was going to be addressed. And it was interesting to see what happened in result to that.
So the biggest question is really, are we looking at a possible avenue for Crosshair to be saved? Are we looking at a way they can get their brother back? And and I can't recall, do you remember, did they do the operation on each of them?
Yeah, they go through the thing with the Wrecker and he gets stunned, and then Wrecker goes down, they put him in the thing, they take the inhibitor chip out, and Omega's like, I'm not leaving his side. And I apologize if my voice is raspy. I was yelling at a baseball game today. But, oh yeah, she's all like, I'm going to stick by his side. And then once he wakes up, then it's like, they go to a transition and they've all got the little Band-Aid and they're all like, oh, haha, we're all cool now. Right. So that's how that happened. So yeah, I'm pretty sure all of them have theirs out now, except for obviously Crosshair.
So, I think, yeah, and this brings up a lot of ideas. I won't even call them theories because they're just different branches the show can go. We're looking at a way to solve Order 66, at least for those either willing, which is obviously rare, because even Rex, who is probably one of the strongest willed clones, couldn't resist it. He resisted it for what, like half a second, giving Ahsoka just enough time to get out. So are they gonna be able to get Crosshair back? I think that depends on Crosshair. Will he have enough pause to let them work on him? And we're gonna start talking about both episodes holistically here, because Crosshair appears in this episode and they try to talk him down, and his response is to tell the rest of the extra, the special forces, to aim their guns at Omega. What the fuck, Crosshair?
The evil man.
She was like, "It's not you, Crosshair," and he was like, "Aim the gun at the kid," and I was like, "No, no," and I just don't know. I mean, there is a solution to the problem, but the biggest roadblock is the problem, obviously.
Yeah.
You can't get Crosshair in there. And if you do, you have to knock him out and separate him from the elite special forces, whatever the hell, Green Beret group. They've built fucking SEAL Team 6 over here. Like,
Empire version.
I just don't know how they're going to do it. I thought within episode 7, I was like, well, this is great because they're going to bring Crosshair back. And they're gonna save Omega from the Kaminoans, and they're gonna get away from the Empire somehow, hide away from the Empire for a long enough time to where it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? But after watching episode 8 with the way Crosshair acts, and there's just no way to talk him down.
I mean, didn't even seem like there was hesitation.
No, there was no hesitation. No,
it was just problem. Like, all right, point the gun at the woman, the small child. It's like, oh.
And I was like, dude, what? So, just to jump back to episode 7 and Rex departs into the mist, it was actually a very good send-off for a very good character. And I want to pick your brain.
You think he's not coming back?
You think that, yeah, do you think this is goodbye to Wrecker? Or Wrecker, what? The names are a little too similar for me.
I see it, yeah.
Is this goodbye to Rex for the rest of the show? Is this goodbye to Rex for, like, the foreseeable future until...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what other projects he'd be in. Exactly. I don't know. I feel like with the talk, we kind of talked about this, but didn't directly speak about what I'm about to say. I feel like with the way that he talked before he gets sent off, I feel like the show with 8 more episodes, if I'm correct,
yep,
has to touch on that, who he's working for. Because obviously it's not our favorite friend who gets her own show. I'm sure, well, and even throughout episode 8, they touch on it several times. I don't remember if it was just Echo or if there was other Clone Force 99 mentioned it, but they go, "We're soldiers. What other life is there?"
Yeah, it's Echo.
And I have to feel like that means they're going to touch back on it. I don't think that, as much as that would be a cool symbolic way for, I mean, probably the best clone out of all. I mean, if you can tell me a better clone out living, there.
Best living clone.
Who, well, yeah, whatever. But you know what I mean? You know,
one of the Five, iconic... Hey, Five's almost ended all of it. I'm just saying.
I mean, for him to walk off into the mist is great and all. But again, I don't think that happens. I think that the way they set that up with him not getting a name out of it, you know,
right.
And right. Then them with that line, what other life is there for a soldier? Mm-hmm. With that quote happening multiple times throughout the episode, I didn't count, but I remember hearing that. It was like they're trying to drop the hint there and reiterate it. I feel like that is going to be brought up again. I'm not saying that that's where we're going to actually, you know what? I feel like that might be towards the end of the series where we see them transition into a role helping the rebellion.
And I guess like that's the only thing I can.
Does that make about. Sense though? Does that make sense?
Yeah, like saying? the end of the season.
Yeah, that's them. they join Rex and whatever that is, and then that's how they go. Because otherwise, I mean, what you're telling me that obviously we have 8 more episodes to go, right?
Right.
So
and to make it clear, we're not totally sure what the future of the Bad Batch is, and I think that's intentional, but we don't know when it's going to end. Like, we know it's 16 episodes, but we haven't had anything on Bad Batch Season 2.
Nope.
We haven't had anything on some sort of continuation. So, there just isn't enough to figure out where they're going. And I don't, I guess I agree with you. I don't think it's the end of Rex, but I have a hard time believing they can fit that grand of a story arc into this
show. Yeah, that makes sense.
However, the Bad Batch needs some fucking help. Because ostensibly the greatest living bounty hunter just entered the scene. Bad Batch episode 8 gave us Cad Bane returning and kidnapping Omega as the Bad Batch was.
Oh, so unless I'm remembering wrong, Omari will like that.
Omari will like that. He was on his top 10 list. I think he was number
10. Yeah.
So what a wild reveal. The whole episode, I will admit, the first 10 minutes didn't have me. The whole Crosshair chasing them through the ship, I really did not care.
Really?
I knew he wasn't going to get them. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, because, yeah.
This show definitely has built some some pretty thick plot armor into its leads. Is that going against my theory that they're all going to die at some point? Yes. But I will
that's going to be my thing. I think that's what we end up is them joining the rebellion in some capacity.
Or dying.
No, this is my prediction.
I know.
I'm thinking they're going into rebellion.
Against your prediction. I'm sure you'll be right because Filoni knows he can't just kill all these boys. But if he did,
especially your new beefcake boy.
Yeah, especially my big beefy boy, Wrecker.
I think that's so funny to everybody that listens.
I know. If you listen,
and it's like,
Bad Batch.
Wrecker stinks.
Like, God, Wrecker's so stupid. And then I just have slowly but sure. I fell in love with Wrecker like he falls asleep. Little by little, then
how much do you think that's tied into his relationship with Omega?
Oh, probably 100%. Like, you know, you watch the first, you know, 50 minutes of the first episode of The Mandalorian, you're like, I don't know if I can handle 8 episodes of I can bring you in warm or I can bring you in cold. It's like, yeah, that's badass, but like...
But is this something that's going to continue?
Exactly. Like, is this type of desperado, like this cold-hearted killer? And unless you're an edgy boy, and I get it, like that's a niche of cinema, that's a niche of movies. But if you're some sort of like edgy, oh, I'm into that. But if you're not, you can't really, it's going to get old and played out really quick. That's why they humanize characters with little kids. I mean, that's just how it is. You look at any show with some gruff man nowadays, or gruff woman or gruff person, they introduce a little kid to make it like, now they're cool.
So it balances out.
So it balances out. Like, and like, I just watched Old Country for No Men. Nope, No Country for Old Men. And like, I walked away from that film so unsatisfied. I know that's, or dissatisfied. Wait,
which one? Sorry.
Huh?
Which one?
No Country for Old Men.
Oh.
I walked away from it so dissatisfied, and I know that's what it's supposed to be. But I was like, there's just no humanization to some of these characters. And like, that's the beauty of that movie. But in Star Wars, you can't really have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to have Wrecker have that, you know, with Omega, it makes him all that much better, you know? But I can't think that they'll kill them off anymore. I felt like the first 4 episodes were really, really leaning into the fact that they may not survive. But as the show's gone on, I think that theory has lost some credence. And we're hitting the 50% mark of the show. So we have a pretty privileged look into how the show's going to go about to the end. So I think I'm definitely leaning more towards your theory now.
Well, and then too, to add a layer to that, I'm not sure right now if I can say that it will be the entire Bad Batch that we see that goes into rebellion.
Crosshair's still a bit of a...
Yeah, that's a question mark. And then, I mean, in general, it's how unlikely is it to go through any sort of war
without
and get your whole group out clean?
I agree. You know, and I think it would service the show a lot to kill off at least one of them, because there have been some ridiculous moments that I'm just like, why did they live through that?
Well, and then our buddy Crosshair almost got turned into a
freaking
a brisket tonight.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, is he dying here? I was like,
been a wuss ass way for him to die.
Yeah, just he burns up as they're somewhere else.
And I wonder if they're going to give him a cool mask.
Oh, yeah. He's got to get some sort of scary upgrade of some sort.
I think the scary upgrade will be the end of him. You know what I mean? As soon as you pop a scary mask onto a Star Wars character, they're going to die.
Death happens.
Death happens. Darth Malak, Darth Vader, Darth...
Darth Vader lives a little bit.
Darth Kylo Ren, nice. Phasma.
Darth Kylo Ren.
I guess she didn't start with one. But anyways, you give a mask to a friend and he dies. So, Crosshair, things aren't looking great for you. If they pop that sweet, sweet mask on your face, you're not going to make it. Sorry, guy. I think Echo's got to die. I will stand by that. They got to give
him, that makes sense to me.
Like, give the man some peace. You know what I mean?
He's in his arm
so much. Maybe give him a new arm before he dies.
Get him an upgrade.
They can find something to put in there. Although his arm is proven useful in that episode with the Martwez twins, he uses it to turn on the factory security droids or something like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was smart.
It's come into play. I mean, it's not like overpowered, but I mean, it's fine.
So there was a line in episode 7, and we're going to transition fully into episode 8 just after this little snippet. Oh, well, then we're going to review episode 7, give a number review. Then we'll move on to episode 8. There was a line in episode 7 that I thought was really interesting. And that is when Rex says there are very few clones who are immune to Order 66. So far, wording has meant everything in this show. How they say things, how they put things, how they describe things to each other has meant a lot, and it's opened the door to character appearances like we saw with Cad Bane, and it's opened the door to revelations like we saw with the inhibitor chip removal procedure with the boys. Do you think there are other clones with Rex? Do you think there's been...
Yeah, I feel like that wording isn't just coincidental.
It can't be throwaway. We know Wolf and Gregor are still around, you know? Gregor from the unfortunate droid arc and Wolf from just the entirety of Clone Wars.
And I mean, it would almost kind of make sense to have a clone like Gregor. Because he's a commando, right?
Arc.
Shoot. I always forget.
It's okay. The clone Bad Batch are commandos, technically.
Oh, yes. Okay, I always forget the ARC troopers. I don't know why. They always looked cool, but it'd be kind of cool to have an ARC trooper back in there. I mean, it feels like... Oh, no. Oh, you didn't see that. Never mind. I can't...
I mean, I know what ARC troopers are, though. So
no, I mean, yeah. Well, in Season 7, there's some of them in there. But Bennett still has not seen Season 7.
They're the Advanced Recon Commando. There it is. I knew I was going to get there. But, yeah. I mean, it would be nice to have them back. But I'm
not saying by any means it'll be like a ton of them, but I'm sure you could pick out a few and throw them in there.
Gregor would be interesting to bring back because I mean, we saw how it ends with him. So you know what? I think you're right. I think he was a commando, actually. Huh.
I don't know. That name just sticks with me when I think of Gregor.
Because he actually wore, like, the commando gear. I just looked it up. I guess I didn't know that. Anyways, the commandos are some of my favorite people. I love the fucking video game where they were introduced. Holy shit. And maybe we had such a cool callback. But anyways, we'll get there. I keep saying that this episode. But more clones? Maybe. Maybe. We'll see. I hope. That'd be kind of cool.
We know how Bennett feels.
Come on. I'd like to see who else survived.
And obviously the stories behind that, how that happened.
And is Rex working for them? Are they all working, you know, together for somebody who's still pulling the strings? Probably a Mon Mothma, you know, that would make the most sense in my opinion. She's the first rebel, really. So if that's possible, you know, we'll see what goes on. I think Mon Mothma is also Fulcrum at some point, so there you go. I liked this episode, but I didn't think it was stellar. I'd give this one a 7.
Yeah, I agree with 7.
Okay, cool, good, because I was worried I was being a little too harsh.
No, I mean, again, As much as we know, I like Rex. It wasn't something that jumped out. Episode 8, though, that is a different story. on so how episode I feel about eight, that.
Yeah. Episode 8 was interesting because the whole framing narrative was that they got caught. The scrappers leaked the location to the Empire. Of course, the Empire swiftly responds with a small army to take them out. Valance, or what was his name? Rampart.
Right. Who is Valance?
God, he's a character from the comic books.
Okay.
Rampart sends, like...
You don't like his name.
He just wants to send Crosshair and his special forces. And then Crosshair's like, no, you don't get it. We need, like, 3 squadrons. And Rampart's like, are you kidding? No. So that goes to show that Crosshair still understands that the Bad Batch are a force, you know? But he sends this small army, and the Bad Batch, you know, through their crafty Bad Batch way, finds a way to get away from them. I thought it was clever. I actually thought that blaster trick that Echo, or that Tech thought up was very clever. Shoot the cannons, and then all the rafters fell on them to save them.
That was like the only time that I will give Tech credit.
Yeah, it is because he didn't say anything stupid. Like,
well, he's always going to be like an asshole about things.
Yeah.
Like, always going to be like mean, but
kind of condescending. But this time, yeah, condescending was funny because he just said, I know. I was like, yeah, you're right. You're right. That's funny. I thought it would be obvious bit was really stupid, and I'm glad they didn't bring it back.
I thought it would be obvious.
It's like, okay. I thought it would be obvious. Like, shut up, Tech. The fuck? No. But that was smart, and I thought it was actually really clever. And then the other thing I thought was really clever was to turn on the engine to stop Crosshair and the rest of Special Forces to from chasing them. I thought that was really clever. This show has a funny way of isolating Hunter and Omega together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Fates really want it to happen every time they're getting chased by something, whether it's by Ming-Na Wen or Crosshair. Why did I call her Ming-Na Wen? Fennec Shand or Crosshair?
Well,
I mean, I could have been further off. So it's just... I get it. You want to isolate the two because they have great chemistry. I'd love to see the Bad Batch work as a squad more. More and more, they're just getting separated and having to do things on their own, and that kind of loses some of the appeal of the team for me. But, you know, I get it. You had to isolate Hunter for this big moment to happen. And that big moment, of course, again, third reveal, this episode talking about Cad Bane. That was one of the... Okay, I'll admit it. That was one of the cooler reveals in Star Wars, I think. Like, it wasn't dump your popcorn on the floor like Luke Skywalker and The Mandalorian was, but it was still like, oh, no way. You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the thing. Once we see, it's always so funny when there's the scene in a, I don't know if it's specifically Star Wars, where the comm's not working. I guess if I think of no one's responding on the other end, you know some shit's up. Like, obviously, I mean, I think with Mando in the first season is a little different because you know that Quill's getting chased. But once you start hearing that repeated Quill message, Quill, it's like, ooh, something bad happened.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I mean, Bennett said it was another faction, and I believed in that. And I was like, who are we going to see? And then you hear the voice that, if you've seen the Clone Wars, it's instantly recognizable. Because there's nothing like it.
Very distinguishable voice. I won't even try it because it's a very weird voice. And like, ooh, I did get the little bit of the chills. And I don't even
like the guy. Unless, you know? Unless there's something I missed, there was no marks on any of those guys that I saw.
Yeah, no, they just were dead.
None. Like, it's like, geez, dude.
And listen, I've talked about how much I don't like Cad Bane before. I think I talked about it in our top 10s. I thought that Cad Bane marked the maturation of the Clone Wars, but I still didn't really like him because I thought he was like a I mean, like,
you don't like his hat.
Cowboy's a cool trope, but let's be real, it's a little overplayed, and The Mandalorian
Space Cowboy.
It plays into the exact same trope, but just makes it a little better. I was so jazzed at his appearance. I don't know how to explain it. I think it was because it was so out of the blue. Ha! Get it?
You're funny.
I think it was because of that, you know, nothing good, nothing so much in Star Wars, like getting a twist that you didn't know was coming. Too often, twists are spoiled for us now, either in trailers or in conversation and YouTube comments, so on and so forth. Like, if Rex wasn't in the trailer and then he just popped up in that episode, I feel like that reveal would have been wild, you know? But Cad Bane's reveal really worked, and they kind of set up this scene. And if you guys watch the story reels that they released for the original episode, season 7 of the Clone Wars, you know what I'm talking about. They set up a duel between Hunter and Cad Bane. Originally, it's supposed to be Boba Fett. Then they set up this grand duel, and now originally in the story reels, Boba Fett and him shoot at the exact same time, and they both hit each other dead in the head. Boba Fett lives because he's wearing, you know, his Beskar, but Cad Bane hits him in a weak spot and it dents his helmet. Hence
Ah, yes.
Boba's dent. And then they cut to where Cad Bane is, and you just see his body fall over and his hat floats down with a hole in it. And that was originally his send-off. So when Hunter and Cad Bane started to square up for a duel, I was like, no fucking way they're bringing this guy back just to kill him in the first scene he's in. And he beats Hunter, which is, as we've seen,
Makes
no
sense.
small feat. Yeah. Shot him right in the chest. Did you think he was dead? I thought he was dead for maybe a split second.
Yeah, for a split second when I was like, I don't know if we just kill Hunter right here.
Yeah, it was like, ooh, I
Especially
mean.
considering that Omega was right there, just kill Hunter right in front of Omega. I don't know if this show would do that.
And I mean, like, hey, again, if they did, massive balls, you know what I mean? Like, just ridiculous to kill off one of your main characters for another character's introduction. But they didn't, and that's just fine. Wow. I don't know. It really just like ship-shaped the episode for me, 'cause I was pretty not sold on that one so far. And then I think the reveal even came in the last 6 minutes. And I mean, it was enough to turn the course of the episode for me. Yeah, I really liked that reveal. I don't know. There's something about a well-written character return, you know? I thought Rex's was okay, but this one was pretty spot on for me. Between the two, which one do you like more?
I think to your point, the show was kind of maybe hitting its repetitive spot with them doing stuff for Sid. So to add Cad Bane to the mix, and to well, we're kind of in the Star Wars thing where the friend that we like gets kidnapped, and now the team has to go and figure out how to get them back.
Yeah.
Basically Cad Bane. My thing though with this episode was, I don't know if it's just me, but I'm fascinated by Braca, and just there was one scene where Omega looks over the window and you can see all these Republic cruisers, and I'm like, that's pretty cool. Obviously, if you've played
Fallen
Fallen
Order.
Order, right? I mean, you see a little bit of that in the opening sequence, but I thought that was cool. And let's see, I thought that was cool. I didn't get mad at tech. I didn't get mad at tech. I thought that sort of, you think about some almost sort of just like little things that I liked was that and tech not being as annoying. Just the idea that, there's so much left on that ship, and what it's the things on that ship would be for that the group financially, as well as the point that they kept saying, we're soldiers, what other life is there for us? And talking, what was it? What was the quote? It was like, oh, if we went with Rex, we wouldn't have owed Sid. And they go, well, I think it's Echo. I don't know. But I don't know. I liked the episode. I thought it was really cool. And with Cad Bane then, and then for what was it? Oh yeah, for Hunter to get shot and almost think he was dead for a second. And then at least with Hunter, and I hope I'm not stealing something here, but well, as you pointed out, the view that we get from inside his helmet, it felt like a video game cutscene. It really did. We got to get him on the ship. I thought that was really, I don't know. I thought this episode was good in appearance. And by that, I mean just seeing Braca. I thought, I don't know. I think that's a cool planet. Just as well as some of the different little things. I thought that's what made it good for me.
Yeah, and again, just to touch on that helmet thing, that was a callback to a Republic Commando game from, I think, 2006 or 2008. Might even be like 2005, dude. It came out the original Xbox. It's an old game. Let's just take a gandy. Why'd I say that? 2005. Yeah,
Wow.
it is an old game, and they put that HUD in as kind of a little bit of a callback, I think, because it was identical to the HUD we see in the game, and it was just so fantastic. I was really happy with that. I don't know. There's a lot of moments in this episode that just hit weird, obscure, niche notes that I really enjoy, like a good character reveal. I think everybody likes that. A good callback, some really good character writing, and some really interesting and clever ways to get out of essentially what would have been a firefight or death for at least some of them. So there's just some really good writing in this episode, I think. Quality writing. You're more interested in that appearance of Braca. I think I'm a little more interested in just like the way this team is starting to gel together in a point of time where their future is uncertain.
Yeah, that as well. I mean, to that point, what they did with the charges, I thought that was pretty cool. Oh, and then the last thing I wanted to mention was Crosshair. Now, I mean, we're seeing him. Obviously, we knew about the inhibitor chip, and before that all happened, he was always kind of the cold, steely guy or whatever. You know what I mean? But for him to not show any hesitation in going for Omega, aiming the weapons at Omega and fire up the engines and basically incinerate these guys, or to that point, try to force them out of the foxhole there to snipe at them. It's been interesting to see that he's just not going to show any remorse, as well as to see where we go now, at least in regard to his injuries, and how they address that, whether it is, like you said, a mask or something like that, or a helmet, different sort of helmet. But yeah, there's no way that they were just going to make him a brisket and ship him away. There's going to be some more stuff, and I wonder if we see even more of a, I wonder if we see him snap on somebody and cause harm, just because I'm sure he's gonna be a little upset that the team got away, but as well as, so do we know 100% that Cad Bane's working for the Empire?
No, he's not working for the Empire. In fact, he's worked because he killed all those clone troopers.
Oh yeah.
He's
So
working for.
I'm sure he's gonna be real. I'm sure that Crosshair's gonna be pissed off that the team got away. I don't think he knows Omega got away with, well, I don't think he knows that Omega got kidnapped, is my point.
I don't think he
I'm
even
sure he's just
cares
gonna
about
be
it.
pissed off, you know.
Yeah, I think he more so cares that the Bad Batch got away. I think he's a maybe he will. Maybe he will freak out and kill somebody again. He did it with
Good soldiers follow order.
that dude. I don't think they revealed his name, so
He
who
just, yeah, he was just fodder at that point. He
yeah,
was
whatever.
there to die.
I'm really interested. I am interested in the special forces for the simple fact that like they just kind of introduced them. They didn't give any like character to them. We know one has a flamethrower and we know one has a Gatling gun. And I don't think any of them died. I think a couple of them got put out of commission, but I don't think they're dead. So I am interested in them as characters. I could be completely wrong and they all could have died, huh? I don't remember. Uh-oh.
I wouldn't think so.
Anyways, I think that they're interesting, but at the end of the day, I think they are cannon fodder for either Crosshair's return or the Bad Batch just, like, rip through and get Crosshair back. I am interested to see if he snaps again. Crosshair is, he's a conundrum of a character for me. I really don't know how they're going to work him out. I feel like they're going to kill him, but that could just be not the case, you know?
I don't feel like there's a definite direction that we're heading in his for his ending of sorts.
I agree. And there's another part of this that is really interesting, and it's something we've talked about a little bit before. And that is, well, okay, let me preface it with this. This show's had a lot of interpersonal play. A lot of it is between the Bad Batch and Crosshair, or the Bad Batch and whoever they run into that week. There seems to be, in my mind, a resistance among the group to get into whatever war is brewing. It's obvious that the Galactic Civil War is in its first stages. We knew it was the day after Order 66 happened and the Empire was established. But there seems to be an inertia coming from at least Hunter. I don't know about the rest of the group, because we saw some pushback this week for the first time. But there seems to be some hesitance from Hunter to get into this big confrontation, battle, you name it, whatever. Is it because of Omega? It doesn't really matter. Probably is. But as viewers, after having the Mandalorian start to reach this galactic level implication, and I think I even talked about this last week too, or last episode too, but are we okay with it being intimate? Are we okay with it just being this character-based show? When the Clone Wars was something so spanning and it's so expansive, like, is the Bad Batch's scale appropriate to the expectations we have for the rest of the show? Or should we just throw those expectations out of the window? I mean, the introduction of Cad Bane doesn't mean anything. He's just a bounty hunter. So
Does it not mean anything, though? Or does it introduce a new threat of sorts?
I think it just continues to develop the thread that the Kaminoans really want Omega.
So wait, have we explored the avenue that they hired Cad Bane? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the only real thing, because they talk about having more than one bounty hunter on the case. So we know Fennec Shand's on the case, but then we didn't know
Blue guy.
Who else was there, and of course it ended up being our big blue cowboy man.
That you didn't like.
Yeah, who I don't necessarily care for, but was just over the moon when he came into this show. It's interesting because, like, this just doesn't have a lot of heavy implication on the Star Wars universe as a whole.
No.
And The Mandalorian does, because of Moff Gideon, The Child, Luke Skywalker, Ahsoka, Bo-Katan, you name it. But this one feels so different because they are introducing some of these bigger players like Rex, Cad Bane, the Empire, Tarkin, so on and so forth. But nothing's really happening. And I just don't know how I feel about it. How do you feel about, like, just...
I get what you're saying. Because, I mean, like you said, none of this is going to change what's happened throughout the movies. You know what I mean? It's not going to change anything. I feel like more so this show is more geared to, and I think this has already been stated, this show is kind of to show what happens to these guys as they try to navigate. I think this is the description of the show, as they navigate throughout life post Order 66. And I guess it will sort of give some answers if you ever thought about, oh, what happened to clones after Order 66, you know, because obviously, I mean, we see them all on Kamino. I feel like we have to kind of do something with all those clones, because I don't think they just get phased out and they just die at some point, right? I feel like there's going to be something with that. But I don't know. I'm okay with it because I understand that, I understood going into this that we weren't going to necessarily see anything that was going to be too game changing in
Right.
in terms of the results of the episodes and how they ultimately affect the Star Wars universe that's canon. But don't know. I'm okay with it. I did like though what this week's episode brought as opposed to what last week's episode brought. So I'm fine with it. I don't know. I think that as well as the content that we'll have coming forward, for Star Wars, I think we'll I don't need it to be anything that's gonna be a game breaker in terms of the Bad Batch. I'm okay with what we've got, in the show itself, what it's for.
And I wonder, I mean, you talk about what's going to happen with all these clones, and it just, I there's just no, I'm having a hard time finding a way for this show to end positively, you know? And at least positively for everybody. Obviously, Clone Wars Season 7 was a bit of a downer, if you're not rooting for the Empire. But this show, I mean, there's just, I don't really want it to get set up for such a bad ending. Not bad, like as in low quality, but I don't want it to end up not being a happy ending for these guys. So there's just a lot of tension on me for that, and there's a lot of tension on like how does this stir the implications, if at all, of the galaxy. But honestly, at the end of the day, if it doesn't, I think I kind of agree with you, it's fine. But I don't know. It's interesting to me. Anyways, let's rate this episode. I'll give it a solid 8.
A number that I thought of after this episode, because I knew we would be doing ratings, was 8.5. I think 9 stretching it, but I don't know. I enjoyed the episode pretty much all around. Not obviously where I'm off the moon and I would give it the 9 or even higher, but I enjoyed it to a good extent.
Yeah, I don't know what this show needs to do for me to give it a 9. The Mandalorian had a couple episodes where it was just like,
Well, if we take today's recording, maybe putting Cody in there, because you seem to like you
it's
seem to
funny,
be itching for a Cody
wouldn't even do it for
appearance.
me. I think a Boba appearance
That's what I thought we might see, but I didn't. I was like, I wasn't sure about that.
When they started talking about another bounty hunter, I was really crossing my fingers because I'd love to get Daniel Logan back into the Star Wars universe, but there's still time. Okay, Bad Batch segment. Oh, almost over. Give me your power rankings.
We including Omega?
Yes.
Okay, Wrecker, Hunter, Wrecker, Hunter, Omega, Tech, Echo.
Wow.
Yeah, Tech didn't annoy me today, so he gets a bump from the 5 hole to the 4 hole.
Okay.
I mean, Echo's fine, but he didn't
He
do too
shot
much
a scrapper today. He
with a
sniped
stun
it.
bolt.
He sniped it with his pistol. It was pretty
I
good.
don't know, I was just surprised because Echo ten not Echo Tech tends to piss me off. So when he was fine and kind of funny, I was like, oh, all right.
So for this entire 2 week period, I'll go Hunter because he's my boy. Omega, Wrecker at 3, he's been my 3 for a while. Crosshair, I think this is going to be the same exact ranking last
Oh, we're
week.
including Crosshair?
I
Shit.
always do, just because I think he's still technically part of the team.
I'd put.
Crosshair, Echo, Tech. Tech being cool for one episode wasn't enough for me to lift him up, but he's just been an utter annoyance otherwise, and a complete non-pleasure to watch anyways. Believe it or not, we have some news. Which is pretty cool. I'm sorry, I just had like a mini allergy attack. We have some news, which is pretty cool. We have some Boba Fett quotes and some interesting news about Visions. They broke the silence. It's been so long since we've heard anything about this television show, and we finally got some intel on some reveals. So we'll start with the Boba Fett Temuera Morrison quotes. It is, dare I say, it's really like, I don't want to say shifting, it's really forming how the TV show that's going to come out here, it's really forming how it's going to look. So, I can't find the article, no! I keep looking at these different articles and it's just like, there we go. So, basically he talks about how it's going to pick up around the following Empire Strikes Back. Don't know why he says that, because we know what he's doing in between Empire Strikes Back, because that's what the comic books are covering right now. I think he means after Return of the Jedi, because that's when we last see him alive, quote unquote. But this kind of idea that we're going to go back in time to look at Boba Fett's history is really interesting. One, because Temuera Morrison is not a young man, so maybe we'll see a Daniel Logan in there. And two, because we kind of were led to believe that the Book of Boba was going to be primarily within post-Mandalorian season 2. So what are your thoughts on this news, and how do you think that show is going to shape up with the knowledge we've been given from the man himself?
Do we know how long this is episode-wise?
Literally 4 episodes.
Shh.
That's the rumor.
And do we know length of those at all?
Like an hour? Allegedly an hour each.
Okay, yeah, an hour would be good. But well, if it was like 8 episodes or maybe even 6, I would say you'd be able to do like a third or a fourth of those telling, you know, being putting the escape story right into the silver screen, but and then you know, somehow jump to post Mando season 2, and we see him as what looked like would be like this cool like dude that took over Jabba's palace,
right?
But 4 episodes, even at the hour length, I don't know.
Be completely clear, we don't know.
Again, this could all just be, you know, giving something to talk about and not necessarily being obviously what's going to happen.
Right. I could see it being like a show where there are flashbacks dispersed throughout.
Yeah.
I have some interesting questions about it, because there are some... my thoughts are not in order here. I think that there are some interesting things to look at when talking about Boba Fett's past. However, I don't know if we need to linger that much on it now that he's back.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I agree with that.
And it looks like the 4 episode thing was just a complete rumor. There aren't any...
No solid number?
Any solid numbers out there.
Huh.
We just know Robert Rodriguez is a guest director for at least more than one episode. Several is what's stated in an interview. But we genuinely don't know when it's gonna drop. Or when it's gonna... How long it's gonna last for. Because... The running theory still is Boba Fett will end, and then we'll go straight into The Mandalorian season 3. How's that timing going to work? Nobody really knows, but we'll see. Tamara Morrison just gave us some speculative stuff to play with, and I appreciate that. I just don't know if it really excited me that much. I kind of made me a little hesitant about the show, if I'm honest with you. Just my own personal opinion. So, the next bit of news we got is that we'll see a reveal trailer for Visions July 3rd at the Anime Expo. Kind of to be expected. We know it's an anime series. We know that there are some pretty huge anime names that will be attached to it. I don't think we have a list yet, and I'm sure that will also be revealed. We know that some probably big anime studios will be collaborating with Disney. I'd love to see Trigger. I'd love to see Bones. Those are two pretty big ones that come out to mind for me. Screw it. Get the guy who does Dragon Ball on there too. Why not? Toriyama. We'll get him in there. But yeah, obviously this is going to be a pretty huge deal because this is the first time we're seeing an international collaboration with Star Wars. Isn't that wild? I mean, you can say like British directors coming in to do it, and also Taika Waititi, kind of international, but I'd say this is the first true, like, we're taking influence from other countries and other cultures and turning it into something distinctly Star Wars. I think that's huge, and I think it's going to work really well. I think it's going to reach a new audience too. I know a lot of anime heads will probably call it trash, but like, I'm excited for it regardless. What are your thoughts on Visions? And I think we had like a still from Visions in that announcement as well. It's just like an old Jedi kneeling before a crystal. But how are you feeling about Visions now that we know a definite release sneak peek? Oh, here's the picture. If you look up sneak peek Star Wars Visions, it's a Jedi samurai guy kneeling in front of a dog woman.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Dog woman.
What article am I clicking on?
I just searched Star Wars Visions. It was from Kathleen Kennedy's reveal.
Oh, it actually came out a while ago. I'm not seeing any pictures.
Oh no, it's not in the article. I just clicked images.
But I don't even see it in images.
It looks interesting.
I'm
not entirely sold on it either way because it was announced alongside a droid story. But I think it'll work really well. I personally am not sold on it. I'm excited for it. I'm not gonna jump all the way on board. I'd say this is the same feelings that I had when WandaVision was announced. Kind of trepidatious. Don't really know if I'll like it or not, but we'll see. And it's Star Wars, so of course I'm excited for it.
It looks interesting is what I'll say.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that still is fine. But, I mean, to an extent, you can only get so much from a still.
Right.
And it depends on the still itself. That does not give me anything.
It still ranks pretty low on Star Wars stuff that I'm excited about. Probably way down there with, like, I was going to say Rangers of the New Republic, but that show is on hiatus right now before it even hit the ground. Speaking of shows that I'm excited for, though, Obi-Wan Kenobi, it was announced that Qui-Gon Jinn, Liam Neeson, will not be on the show, probably, unless they're doing some misdirection. I doubt they are, because I don't think he needs to be on the show. He announced that he wasn't. I don't think it's a huge deal.
No.
He made a joke and was like, they couldn't afford me. Ha 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 ha. No, I haven't gotten the call yet. So it's like, no, I don't think so. I don't think he's lying. I don't think this is an Andrew Garfield Spider-Man situation. I think he's just not going to be in the show. And I think it's fine.
Like, yeah, no, if we went through Obi-Wan and I didn't see Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon, I wouldn't cry. Like, it's...
And don't get me wrong.
It would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yes, sure. But I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Now there are rumors that Wedge Antilles will be in the show to some capacity.
I think I did see that.
Which would kind of play into Ewan McGregor's quote of doing a scene with somebody special in his life, because of course Wedge Antilles actor Dennis Lawson is his uncle. So that'd be cool. A DH Dennis Lawson showing up. I still think they should get another actor to play Wedge for like a series or something like that, because he's one of the most underrated badasses in the Star Wars universe. I digress. But we'll see if that rumor has any credence to it within the next year, because that's when we'll see Kenobi. This podcast will hopefully still be running by then. I just, you know, there's just so much stuff coming out so rapid fire with Star Wars and with Marvel. We kind of survived the dry period, kind of like we did with Circling Seattle Sports, you know what I mean? Like, survive.
Find a way to bear down.
Yeah, you survive that gross period where there's nothing to talk about, and then now we're just like bam, 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 bam. And especially even if, you know, we're left with not a lot of Star Wars for 3 weeks after the Bad Batch ends, we got a lot of Marvel stuff to talk about over on the other deal, which will think we'll resume at some point, you know?
Hopefully soon here, because last episode of Loki,
holy moly, Disney's hitting us with these big ass reveals, and just like how do they expect us to keep up, huh? I don't know.
A beautiful time. I mean,
put Owen Wilson in Star Wars next.
I remember, what was it? Like after Endgame, and it for the respective franchises, after Endgame and then after Rise of Skywalker, I remember people being, oh, for Marvel, oh, they can only go down from here, you know.
And then I agree.
That sort of talk, and it's like, oh, you know, Star Wars just sucks now after Rise of Skywalker. I'm like, all right, buddy. I don't know if you really watch the stuff, but you know,
I think,
and because I get you know, you throw everybody in a movie from those 23 from that entire cinematic universe, you know, it's like, what can you do now,
right?
But if you understand the comic base that Marvel has, there's so much story for them to tell.
And I think, I mean,
that's, and with the creative team they've got, they can, I mean, you can attest, Bennett, you think that creative team is going to do anything? Well, not anything, but do you have any lack of confidence in that creative team?
And you know, and that's what's interesting about the teams that Disney, and more notably on the Star Wars side of things, and maybe I'll catch some flack for, no, I will. I know certain people who are listening will flinch at this. This is the type of thing you have to give Kathleen Kennedy credit for. She's putting together teams, just like Kevin Feige does over at Marvel. She's putting together teams.
Yeah.
Like Robert Rodriguez.
I see what you mean, yeah.
Like Taika, like Jon Favreau. You know, she's green lighting these production teams to pump out shows like The Mandalorian and The Bad Batch. And quite frankly, we don't know if Dave Filoni would still have a platform without her. Because, you know, once Lucas exited, Filoni's ties to Star Wars were the Clone Wars halfway through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's a fan favorite who is highly connected to Kathleen Kennedy, and people forget that shit all the time. And on Marvel side of things, I mean, Kevin Feige has put together just this amazing creative team that is pumping out these shows. I think they're running some very parallel tracks right now, releasing some very good television with promises of good movies in the future. Marvel's already there. Star Wars has a couple more years till we see another film, which I think is perfectly fine. I think
you don't want it to be like something where it's, you just pump out at something every year just to create content. It's like if you take the time with it and you get the right people on it, as we've kind of hammered on, you get good product.
And I will admit that, like, hey, listen, Star Wars, the density of Star Wars and the content that was released within the last couple years of the Skywalker saga, where we got Solo, then we got Rise of Skywalker, and in between those we got The Mandalorian, it was a lot. You know, it was a lot to handle. It was a lot to digest as fans, especially with The Mandalorian and The Rise of Skywalker airing at the same time. It was dense. And, you know, consuming that much content at once. I get it. It can be tiring. But just consider that you don't have to consume it all at once. Like, you don't have to watch these things at the speed they come out if you don't want that saturation. So I think the complaint that there's too much at once is a little silly. Like, the Marvel shows all coming out in a row. People are complaining about that. That's silly. You can wait a couple days, a couple weeks to start Loki after Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm not going to, but that's because I kind of like having things to watch every month, you know? But yeah, I don't know. This where we're at as fandoms for both of these universes is very polarizing. But I think we're headed the right direction on all accounts. Any final thoughts? Good sir.
I think that, well, for Star Wars, or for both things that we've kind of mentioned here, the last little segment. Hello.
Hello.
I asked you a question.
Oh, for Star Wars.
I think what's important is to touch on what you said about the movies, because it seems like the movies for a while are what some of this fan base are all they care about, which is not good, considering that there's more. It's like you can go for the meat and potatoes all the time. No, you can go for the meat all the time, but sometimes you need the potatoes to help enhance the meal itself. I don't know what kind of what I had to try to do there, but I hope it made sense.
You're like Loki with the salad.
Yeah. My point being is there's better content out there, and it's not always going to be in this big production, because I don't know. I'm sure this is a conversation for a different episode, but I don't know how you felt about J.J. Abrams, them bringing him in, or picking in Rian Johnson. But sometimes you just don't make the right decision. And it's, again, and then, well, no. Sometimes, like with this fandom, regardless of, like, if we thought the sequel trilogy, say that it went how, in our minds, it was just perfect, right?
Right.
There would always be people who complained about it.
Yeah.
Just because it didn't go this way. Han Solo didn't look sexy in it, or whatever, you know. It's like there's always going to be something to complain about, and I'm, again, like you said, I'm okay not having a Star Wars movie here for a few years. Right. Let that creative team, when they're ready to start production, let them do their thing, let that movie get worked on, you know, let them do post-production, all that, and then have it ready.
Yeah, I mean,
the time is right.
Let's also be real, those the trilogy of Star Wars movies every 2 years, that's pretty ridiculous. I mean, I think that's the speed that the prequel trilogies came out at, but the original trilogy was, it took some time. It was every 3 years. And listen, I know people are gonna be like, well, that's only an extra year. That's pretty, but
a year's a decently long
that's
time.
That's pretty huge for a movie.
Yeah,
so I don't know, taking the time to work on things and get it right, I think, is more important than having a content movie farm. Having television come out consistently, though, I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. You can put off watching an episode. You can take it as you want. You can wait for it to all come out and then almost binge it as a movie. There's just so many opportunities with this new form. We're running really high on time here. Sorry, folks. We got more Bad Batch stuff coming up next week. Keep an ear open and an eye out about the Marvel stuff and about the comic book stuff in general. We're working on that still. We're trying to quote-unquote relaunch that. But just keep your ears out and go over and listen to some Circling Seattle Sports. I think for the first time ever, we put out like not an hour and a half episode. So check that out. And yeah, I think that's all I have. Omari's not here, so Chuck, you get to do the outro.
Well, folks, this has been a decent amount of time. My voice sounds different because I was yelling at men wear tight pants and tight jerseys.
Huh.
Regardless of how you may feel about certain characters in this universe, I think at the end of the day, we can all agree that we watch this content to have fun. So remember that. Remember that This is stuff that we enjoy to get away from some of the tougher things in life. So with that being said, this is Charles here, thanking you for your time, whether you're in the car or you're at home, or maybe you're at work and maybe you should focus on what you're doing. Regardless, have a good rest of your day. Bennett, make a funny noise and let's get out of here.
Boo!